I'm joined by Ken Raitt, who is the project director of U.S. Public Lands and Rivers Conservation for the Pew Charitable Trust. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on today. The Pew Charitable Trust works on a broad range of issues. Specifically, in the public lands arena, we work on conserving wildlife migration corridors, aquatic corridors, and trying to bring some level of balance to how the public lands managed by both the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service are addressed through land management planning.
So you recently wrote an article, and this was a sort of summary of a review that the Pew Charitable Trust has done of 6 draft plans that have been released by the Bureau of Land Management in the past 4 months, these covering more than 20 million acres of public lands in 5 states. What is the Pew Charitable Trust's review finding of these plans?
Well, what we're finding is that there are some pretty disturbing trends as it relates to what the Bureau of Land Management is proposing in these plans. As you said, the BLM has released 6 draft management plans across different states, including Alaska, Colorado, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. In these planning processes, BLM has an agency-preferred alternative in each plan, which is basically where they intend to go as they move through the planning process, and is our first and best indication of where the agency is going to come out in its record of decision. And what we're finding is that the Bureau of Land Management is essentially proposing to eliminate most conservation that has existed in these planning areas previously, and is proposing almost no conservation going forward. And so basically, the Bureau of Land Management is in the process of turning public land management over to development with very little regard for conservation. And that includes protecting areas that are important for recreation, for wildlife habitat, and other values that the public really thinks are important in the public lands across the West and in Alaska. Just a little bit of background on the planning process. The way the planning process works is that the agency conducts a scoping process to identify issues that are important to the public. So they take input from the public on what the range of issues are that should be addressed in the planning process. And then based on that, the agency comes out with a draft plan, takes public comment on that draft plan, and then puts together a proposed plan. And then after the proposed plan comes out, the agency will issue a record of decision. So with these 6 plans that the agency has released, those are all in the draft phase. And so there's still an opportunity for the agency to get it right and to try to provide more of a balance than they are doing. But at this point, we are very troubled by what we are seeing with these draft plans.
And in the article, you state that the lack of balance is unprecedented and that there is another 6 draft plans to come probably in the next few months.
That's very, it is very much unprecedented. The BLM got its Organic Act when Congress passed the Federal Lands Policy and Management Act in 1976, and basically that act, which is also called FLTMA, mandated that the agency manage public lands for multiple use and sustain yield, and it mandated that the agency go through a planning process about every 20 to 25 years to make sure that the lands are being managed in a way that is reflective of the public interest in these lands. One of the provisions of FLTMA is something called Areas of Critical Environmental Concern. FLTMA directed BLM to make the identification and designation of areas of critical environmental concern a priority in its planning processes. The reason why what we're seeing now is unprecedented is because the Bureau of Land Management is essentially sanitizing the plans of areas of critical environmental concern that have existed for a couple decades to this time. ACECs have been designated by BLM since FLTMA was passed in planning efforts by all administrations. Interestingly, the presidential administration that designated the most ACECs on public lands was the Bush 2 administration, but all presidential administrations have created significant acreages of areas of critical environmental concern. Now, what we're seeing is that BLM is starting to sanitize the plans of these protections that are important for a variety of public land values, including historical values, archaeological resources, important wildlife habitat, important recreation areas.
You say that proposed 94% elimination of ACECs that were previously established in what we're seeing now in these draft plans?
Yeah, that is correct. And, you know, as you mentioned, these six plans cover about 20 million acres. And in those 20 million acres, about 10% of the land, or about 2 million acres, has been set aside in prior plans as areas of critical environmental concern. This administration is proposing to wipe out 94% of those areas of critical environmental concern, or more than 1.9 million of the 2 million acres. In addition, the agency is required to make the identification and designation of ACECs a priority in its planning process. And as part of the planning process in these six plans, the agency has done an assessment of what lands actually qualify for designation of ACECs going forward. And of the 20 million acres that are undergoing planning now, the agency has identified about 4.5 million acres as meeting the criteria. They're called the relevance and importance criteria. The agency has identified about 4.5 million acres of lands that qualify as ACECs, but is proposing going forward to protect just 2% of those. And so even though the agency has identified 4.5 million acres, it's proposing to allow development in 98% of these lands. And so in our minds, this is just not a responsible balance. You know, it's, you know, we think that the public lands, and in particular the lands managed by the BLM, are vast enough to support the wide variety of uses that go on, that include energy development, that include mineral development, that include livestock raising, that include recreation, wildlife habitat. But what's going on when the agency is removing all these protections and proposing very few others is that the agency is giving over these planning areas to development with little or no regard to their conservation values whatsoever.
I understand that for the Uncompahgre Field Office, the state of Colorado now has until the end of this month to conduct a consistency review and see that it aligns with state policy. How much weight do these states hold in the final decision?
So under the Federal Lands Policy and Management Act, or FLTMA, as I talked about earlier, BLM plans are required to go through a consistency review with governor's offices so that there can be some synchronicity between what the BLM is proposing and what actions and priorities the state has. And fortunately, in the case of Colorado, on July 29th, the Department of Natural Resources submitted an extensive letter to BLM identifying a variety of areas where the Uncompahgre plan is problematic. And we certainly laud the work of Dan Gibbs, the director of Colorado DNR, and his staff for the great work in putting that letter together. But in its letter, the state of Colorado identified a variety of reasons why the BLM proposed plan in the Uncompahgre planning area is just not good enough. And that includes the fact that the agency isn't properly protecting sage grouse and big game habitat. And in addition, that there's almost a breach of trust between the BLM and the state, because the BLM did very little to engage the state as a cooperating agency in this planning process.
And so would the state have any power to shut the plan down ultimately?
We're going to have to wait and see how BLM responds to the state's very valid concerns. The state, in a sense, feels like its numerous concerns have been overlooked by BLM, and now we're waiting to see how BLM considers the state's comments as they move from the proposed plan to the record of decision. The BLM still has time to get some of these things right, and we are eager to see BLM move in the direction of doing things like putting the ecological emphasis areas back into the plan that were in the draft plan, but then removed from the proposed plan as a means of protecting important habitat for deer and elk in western Colorado.
What do you recommend for just average citizens who are hearing about this and maybe they commented and then they submitted during the protest period a follow-up, maybe even people who missed that opportunity but are concerned for public lands?
Well, people can look us up and on the internet, we can provide means for folks to provide their input into the agency planning process. Also, the BLM maintains its own what's called e-planning site that allows for public input into these processes. In Colorado, it's not just the Income Progre planning area that's at issue here, but also the Eastern Colorado planning area, where BLM is proposing the removal again of, you know, more than 45,000 acres of areas of critical environmental concern, where the agency is proposing almost no protection for lands with wilderness characteristics. And so the trend that we have seen in the Income Progre is carrying through to the Eastern Colorado plan, as well as these other plans across the West and Alaska. These are all issues that we are paying close attention to, and we strongly encourage the public to get involved, because these are every bit our lands, and these lands are part of the legacy that we have a responsibility to leave for future generations. And the way that we can make sure that we're leaving healthy public lands with healthy populations of wildlife and scenic resources is by being involved in these planning processes.
Ken Raitt with the Pew Charitable Trusts, thank you so much for speaking with Katie and Kate.
I appreciate your time, and I just hope that we can get people involved, because this is part of what makes America great, is our public lands, and we all need to stake our claim.